Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is a Thursday, the 13th day of July, 2023. How quickly the year is going, isn't it? I have a lot to cover this episode. Steve won't be with me today, scheduling conflict, among other things. So just want to let you know that I've got, but nonetheless, I've got a lot of information to go over. Of course, you know, the Secret Service, they have ended their investigation into the cocaine that was found at the White House. They identified, well, they didn't identify any suspects. Out of a pool, they say, of 500. Now, my question is that a legitimate pool of suspects, given the location where it was found? And we know, if you go back to early reports, and what was found in the in one location in the near the near the executive living quarters. It's found near the library or in the library. It was found in the West Wing. Where was it really found? But if you ask the Secret Service, we're going to end the investigation. The Secret Service today said that its investigation into how cocaine ended up at the White House is now closed. No suspect identified. The agency statement came after congressional Republicans said they were told in a classified Secret Service briefing that the investigation into the cocaine found in the White House West Wing, now that's this story, earlier this month was concluded without a determination of who was responsible. Now, this is a part that gets me. There was no surveillance video footage found that provided any investigative leads or other means for investigators to identify who may have deposited and found the substance in the area. Without physical evidence, the investigation will not be able to single out a person of interest from the hundreds of individuals who passed through the vestibule where the cocaine was discovered. Now, how hard would this be? I'm asking to do some drug tests. The Secret Service said the packaging was subjected to advanced fingerprint DNA analysis. Okay. And what were the results of that? A little bit mushy on that information. As well as mushy on the video, video report. In that pool of 500, I do suspect, is the entirety of the workers and visitors to the White House on that day. So, why did I bring this up? Out of all the things that you could possibly bring up, why did I bring this up? To me, this is indicative. And folks watching this on Rumble or Brighteon, and folks, I ask you, please do me a favor and subscribe. And subscribe to the Hagman Report on Rumble and Brighteon. But for those people watching this on Rumble or Brighteon, there's the bag of cocaine. Now, that's not just a little bit of cocaine.
Can't be any of Biden's staff.
No, of course not. How dare you think that?
Because they're subject to routine drug tests.
Well, I'd make it a little bit more routine. That's a lot of cocaine. I mean, am I wrong? That's a lot of cocaine to be, you know. Where'd I lay that bag? That's not exactly...
Whoever administers those drug tests,
yes,
gets paid a pretty penny.
Here, you go pee in this cup. Okay. You're going to watch me? No, I'm not going to. No, just go ahead.
Yeah. Then swap it with the one on the toilet seat.
That's true. You know, this is not my first rodeo, and I'm sure it's not the any of the investigators first radio. So I got to tell you this. It's a setup from the, or it's a whitewash from the beginning. And you know that, and I know that. And this is more indicative of a two-tiered justice system because, look, if they found that cocaine in this studio, would you happen to think that, well, we're going to shut down the investigation because there's only, you know, five people and or there's five people and we really can't narrow down a suspect. Yeah, okay. Keep believing that. Now, yesterday, I want to touch on this. I know Alex Jones had touched on this yesterday as well. I think Steve Bannon did too. But this is important, okay? Even though this is theater, we know that this is theater. We know that really, I don't believe this has any value except informational value. And the reason I say that is this. Listening to the news, watching the news, does it really have any value to your life, unless something is done about what's being reported? That's the question I have. And if the answer is no, then why bother, right? Why bother watching this program? Why bother watching any other podcast or listening to the news or reading the paper if there will be nothing done about what is being reported? And that's where I find myself today. Except, and this is a big except, And I've been wrestling with this because, quite frankly, I've been thinking, you know, what difference does the outward programming make or the show make? What difference does it make to your life if you're watching this? Well, you become better informed, and that's the objective. As long as you know what's going on, then you can act accordingly. But it's up to you to act. It's not up to me. It's not up to anyone else. It's up to you to adjust your behavior or behaviors, depending on the subject matter, accordingly. But I want to play this video clip from the House Judiciary Committee yesterday. This is the Matt Gaetz segment. Okay, now this is about a 4-minute segment, roughly. I'm only going to play a few minutes of this. But this has some value to it. I believe the value lies within the inner workings, the display of the inner workings of the FBI. And I'm going to mention a name before this video rolls. I'm going to mention the name to you. Craig Livingstone. Does that name ring a bell to anyone? If you think back during the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, co-president, of course, about 900 missing FBI files. Do you remember that? When did the FBI begin to really change from a law enforcement body investigating certain aspects of crimes to what they're currently doing? And that's running interference for the current regime, as well as being used as a weapon by the left in this country. Think about that. Think about that as you watch this. Nothing, at least in my particular sense, nothing will come of this. Except you will know how bad things are with the FBI, and with Congress, the toothless Congress that we have, everything is toothless. The inmates are running the asylum. Chris Wray, nominated by, or not, not well, appointed by President Trump, this guy's a snake, as well as all of the career agents at the FBI. since the Clinton regime or the Clinton administration. If you think back to when things changed, those 900 and some odd files that were taken that Hillary Clinton, that were in her closet. You remember that story? Oh, yeah. Filegate? Oh. Think about that as you watch this. This is clip A in the show notes. Go to HagmanPI.com. Click on the title, and underneath it will be all of the show videos, assets, and links. There you can watch the entire thing yourself. But watch this.
The American people need to understand what just happened. My Democrat colleague just asked the director of the FBI whether or not they are buying information about our fellow Americans. And the answer is, well, we'll just have to get back to you on that. It sounds really complicated. But I have other questions. I'm sitting here with my father. I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father. Sounds like a shakedown, doesn't it, Director?
I'm not going to get into commenting on that.
You seem deeply uncurious about it, don't you? Almost suspiciously uncurious. Are you protecting the Bidens?
Absolutely not. The FBI
You won't answer the question about whether or not that's a shakedown, and everybody knows why you won't answer it. Because to the millions of people who will see this, they know it is. And your inability to acknowledge that is deeply revealing about you. But let's go from the uncurious to the downright nosy. How many illegal FISA queries have occurred under your leadership of the FBI?
Well, there are reports that have come out with different numbers about compliance incidents.
More than a million illegal ones? Because that's what the Inspector General said. The Inspector General said that in the 3.4 million of these queries, more than a million were in error. Do you have any basis to disagree with that assessment by the Inspector General?
I'm not sure, actually, that's a correct characterization of the Inspector General's findings on that.
The Internet will remind you of that in moments. But let's now go to what the court said. The court said it was over 200,000 that have occurred on your watch. Do you have any basis to disagree with that assessment?
Again, I don't have the numbers. I sit here right now. What I can
seems like
you,
a number you should know. How many times the FBI is breaking the law under your watch, especially if it's like over a million, to not know that number? And I'm worried about your veracity on the subject as well. Play the video.
Letters for investigation of the Capitol. I don't believe FISA is remotely implicated in our investigation.
So there, Senator Lee's asking you whether or not FISA was in any way involved in your January 6th investigation, and you say no. Was that truthful?
I said that I did not believe it was.
Okay, so now let's pull up what the court said, which was something a little different than what you said. So here, nope, that's not the right one. Yeah, here we go, right there. It says, the government has reported additional significant violations of the querying standard, including several relating to the January 6, 2021 breach of the Capitol. So I guess the question, Director A, is, did you not know when you were answering these questions that the FBI was engaging in these illegal searches, or did you perjure yourself to Senator Lee?
I certainly didn't perjure myself. At the time that I testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I didn't have that piece of information. I will add...
Well, that was a court order. You didn't have that piece of information because the court hadn't yet rendered a judgment. Did you not know when you gave the untruthful answer before Senator Lee that this was going on?
It was a truthful answer. I did not believe FISA had been involved in the January 6th
investigation. But it was. So you didn't... The answer is the FBI has broken so bad that people can go and engage in queries that when you come before the Congress to answer questions, you're like blissfully ignorant. You're blissfully ignorant as to the unlawful queries. You're blissfully ignorant as to the Biden shakedown regime. And it just seems like it gets into a kind of a creepy place as well. Go to our next image on what the court said. Like, just so the American people realize, the court has smacked you down, ruling FBI personnel apparently conducted queries for improper personal reasons. People were looking themselves up. They were looking their ex-lovers up. Who has been held accountable or fired as a consequence of the FBI using the FISA process as their, like, creepy personal snoop machine?
There have been instances in which individuals have had disciplinary action and who are no longer with it. I can't get into it here, but we can follow back up.
But
with
don't you see? Don't you see that that's kind of the thing, Director Ray, that you preside over the FBI that has the lowest level of trust in the FBI's history? People trusted the FBI more when J. Edgar Hoover was running the place than when you are. And the reason is because you don't give straight answers. You give answers that later a court deems aren't true. And then at the end of the day, you won't criticize an obvious shakedown when it's directly in front of us. And it appears as though you're whitewashing the conduct of corrupt people.
Respectfully, Congressman, in your home state of Florida, the number of people applying to come work for us and devote their lives working for us is up over 100%.
We're deeply proud of them, and they deserve better than you.
Time of the gentleman has expired.
You. That's perfect. And again, excuse me, when we look at this, what is going to change? Is there anything that's going to change? Will Ray be there? Yes, he's going to be there. Will the FISA process maintain that level of abuse? I believe it will, because there is no internal regulation with respect to what is taking place. Now, I'm sure at the lowest of levels, for example, myself as an investigator, and I've said this before, you know, I've got access to databases. They're non-public, they're proprietary. You can't get this stuff off the internet. And I am audited. Audited regularly. And if I cannot answer a question, in other words, if I'm asked a question, what was this query for? My ability to use those databases, plural, is gone. They will take that away from me. And in some cases, depending on the reason, criminal charges can be filed. And that's a license I have, and that's what I've got to uphold, okay? I've got to uphold that standard of ethics. I couldn't. For example, if I see a beautiful young lady driving a Maserati down the road and I get the license number, I'm thinking, wow, boy, it'd be great to meet her or something, where she smiles at me and I get the license number, I come back and I run the license number. No, you can't do that. And that's what they're talking about in part. But it's worse than that. They're using the databases. And this is something that came up yesterday. And I watched the entirety of the hearings, which, boy, I'll tell you what, man. You talk about a torturous session. They're using the databases, and they're using certain aspects of the FBI to obtain information about American citizens. For example, Bank of America. Right before that segment, they were talking about both social media and banks giving information to the FBI unsolicited in terms of Bank of America, with respect to gun and ammunition purchases. So, for example, if you went out and you used your Bank of America credit card to purchase a 45 caliber handgun, Bank of America sent that to the FBI. They've got no business doing that. And the FBI took it. They've got no business taking that. And that is the process by which we are going to be held as prisoners here in the United States. So the reason I wanted that played is because, folks, the FBI, the weaponization, and that's clearly a term. Some say it's overused. I think it's understated. The weaponization of the law enforcement, the supposed premier law enforcement agency of the United States, is nearly, or I believe, is complete. And that's, they are going to essentially be one component of our enslavement, one method, one modality to enslave us. Now, I saw something. Let me just make sure I have this down here. Okay. This is clip three in advance, Eric the Tech. I saw something. My good friend Brandon House was interviewing attorney Tom Renz. And I don't know how many people saw this. If you didn't see this, this is an extension of what I just spoke about. This is the manner in which the powers, those overlords, will control all of us. Okay? When you think about the state of our economy, and I'm going to get into that momentarily, especially with the monies going to Ukraine. In fact, can we do that now? I just want to show you this. We are spending money, obviously, that we don't have. This is page one. I just want to show you this graph. This is important to realize because we are no longer, or will not be much longer, the petrodollar, the world reserve currency. And the spending is out of control. Money that has gone to Ukraine has exceeded $70 billion, $78 billion to be exact. That's for complete aid. It's all the monies since Russia moved on Ukraine. Now, look at this graph. This is military expenditures, military aid only by country. Look at the United States, $42 billion. If I said million, I apologize, $1 billion. $78 billion in total, $42 billion in military aid. Now that is our discretionary spending. The next closest is what? Germany, then the UK. Look at that graph. That money is more than all of the other countries combined we have given Ukraine. Keep that in the back of your mind, okay, as you think about the future of our economy, the future of our currency, not money, but currency. How you and I are going to be able to conduct transactions. So, I have a call to Brandon House, and he's been a guest on the show, and I've been a guest on his show, and we've talked, and we've got many of the same friends, and attorney Tom Renz, great guy, and knows his stuff. Well, Brandon and attorney Tom Renz both have a copy, as I do, of the document that outlines exactly how we are going to be made captives, the methods by which they will take our money, okay, our property, our tangible assets. You know that saying by the World Economic Forum, by 2030, you'll own nothing and be happy. And you say to yourself, yeah, that's not going to happen. How in the world can they possibly do that? Well, here is really a good explanation in this interview. And I'm going to let this interview play because it needs to be shown. You need to understand what they're going after. Now, attorney Tom Renz, of course, very, very intelligent. Brandon House, of course, very well researched, very intelligent. Listen to this interview, and if you've heard it, I ask you a favor. Please listen to it again, because I had to listen to it two or three different times to get all of the information that this contains. But this is how, This is the method by which they intend to enslave us. Here it is.
Tom, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Be here, House. It's been a long time.
It has been a little while, hasn't it, my friend? Glad to have you with us. Sorry we're running a little behind here. Let's get right to it. I don't know if you saw any of the program earlier, but I did open up this file from the Bank for International Settlements and was also talking to attorney and economist and financial expert Rebecca Walzer, and she was just hammering this tonight. Both of you have this. Both of you have read it. The tokenization. I mean, they're going to take our private property and give us tokens in return for our private property and then tie it to a social credit score. I mean, this new 34-page document that came out yesterday from the Bank for International Settlements, a group I've been talking about for 15 years now, the Central Bank of Central Bankers, this is a dangerous thing. You want to talk about this tokenization and programmable platforms, Attorney Tom Renz?
Yeah, I got to tell you. So, you know, here's the thing. So I used to be a banker, right? I ran a credit union. And when you look at things as a banker, everything is just a line on a ledger, right? So what they want to do is they want to be able to take everything that you own and make it a line on a ledger. And they want to centralize that, right? So you own your house. What is your house? What does that mean that you own your house? Well, symbolically, it means that you've got a deed somewhere that's got your name on it, right? That's recorded somewhere, this, that, another. Well, you know what? What they want to do is they want to say that that is an asset, right? So that asset, if there's any liquidity in it, if it's in the market, if it's here, if it's there, it becomes a token. It becomes a line on a ledger, right? It's just something that's on a spreadsheet somewhere. And all they want to take every asset out there. So if you're a business, you've got a fleet of trucks, line on the ledger. You've got a commercial property, line on the ledger. And this is their way of rounding out CBDCs, right? So CBDCs are about the liquid asset. It's about cash. What do you do with cash? What do you want to buy? What do you want to do? You know, are we going to let you buy this? Are we going to let you buy that? This is about your hard assets. This is how they make sure that you own nothing and you love it. See, when they take this, what they do is you want to buy a house, right? So you've got your CBDCs, you got your social credit score, you're going to be eligible to buy a house. While you're buying this house, it's a token on a spreadsheet. And if your social credit score falls too far, you lose your house. That's the way that it is, right? So everything just becomes a digital asset and totally controllable. Between CBDCs and tokenization of assets, it essentially means that every part of your life is nothing more than a line on a ledger. And here's the thing, House. When we look at it as bankers, everything's a line on the ledger anyways to some extent. But that line on the ledger requires transfer of something physical. Now, we got rid of the gold standard, so now we transfer pieces of paper with numbers on it. When we go to this, what we're doing is we're eliminating even the need to move those dollar bills. There's nothing. It's just a fictional line on a ledger. And that would be bad enough, except for we're going to put that line on that ledger for everyone running through a single bank that is controlled by a handful of lunatics. Now, you may say, well, what's the difference? That's going to make transfer of property, transfer this, it'll all be real easy. And they talk about a lot of this. They were talking about security and how, they'll protect your privacy. Do you trust them? Do you trust that much power in the hands of a couple people? People who have talked about the Green New Deal, but, they want to eliminate car ownership. They want to eliminate private property. They want to eliminate this. They want to eliminate that. I mean, these guys are going to try and take control of our property, of our financial systems, of our economic systems, and then they're going to tell us how to live. And they're going to do it. There's some really neat legal loopholes that they intend to work on to kind of get this pushed through. But, I'm going to tell you, House, this is scary stuff because from a lawyer's perspective, this is wildly unconstitutional. But there's enough legal holes and loopholes and enough room that, with the wrong activist court, they might actually allow it. And,
Can you pause that for a minute?
Do we trust the courts to do the right thing?
Okay. All right. I want to comment here. A lot of people don't really understand the current banking system. Believe me, I'm not the brightest bulb either. Okay, so I get that. Now, the Bank for International Settlements is the banker's bank, just so people understand this. Their mission is to support central banks' pursuit of monetary and financial stability, ready for this, through international cooperation, and to act as a bank for central banks. What is happening? If you listen to Gerald Celente, for example, or if you subscribe to Trends Journal, which I suggest you do. In fact, I'm gonna get Gerald back on because he's been on fire lately. But the fact of the matter is this: you've got the petrodollar that's essentially non-existent. Why? It's because, in part, now follow me on this. If you've got a climate control agenda, which is not mentioned during this interview, but if you've got this climate control agenda, okay, you're not going to have a petrodollar. Back in 1971, when Nixon took us off the gold standard, Kissinger went out, negotiated with the Saudis, and really created the petrodollar. And the petrodollar has served us, well, used us, I suppose is a better way of saying it, for the last 52 years. All right. Now, you take that away and you take the dollar away as the world's reserve currency. Everything is changed. The BRICS nations that are forming, it's going to be a very crowded house of made of bricks and more. Okay, there's going to be mortar added to those bricks. They're working on a different standard. Okay, so all of that, everything that Tom Renz is saying to Brennan the House and back and forth is a result of what I just said. Okay, and by the way, talking to Brennan the House, his schedule is so crazy. You know, he would just say, "Hey, just play that interview." You know what I said there, and with Tom Renz. Same thing with Tom Renz. It's almost impossible to get him to sit down for any length of time. God bless that man. He's really doing a good job. But continue listening to this. Now comes the meat and the real method in terms of how they're going to take your house. And think about this. Doesn't matter if you own it straight out or don't own it straight out. Think about this, or your car, or anything, any tangible asset. Here it is.
Thing at this point, and frankly, I don't.
No, I absolutely don't. Now I want to flesh this out a little bit. So what if you have so you're saying, and I kind of proposed this to Rebecca earlier. I said, so if you have your house paid for, and in return you get a deed. So they're going to take that deed. This is what I was surmising, and it sounds like I was right. They're going to take that deed, and then they're going to turn that deed into tokenization, and they're going to store that tokenization somewhere, the value of your house, $250, $350, whatever your house is. Then I said, well, what if you all of a sudden, under social credit scores, you say something you're not supposed to say, post something you're not supposed to post, now all of a sudden some tokens come out. You get fined. Now it's kind of like a reverse mortgage. Money is coming out for your fines, and now you're back to making a mortgage, which means now you literally don't own that house. So is that even feasible, what I just proposed?
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I think they will do. So they're going to try and thread a needle and use the tax and spending power of the government to make this look legal, right? So if the government's got everything right in place, think about this house. You know, I got to visit you at your beautiful home, right? If you don't pay property tax on that home, how long is it yours? Not very.
They're about a year.
It, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to take it. They're going to seize it. So you rent that house from our government in a odd sort of way, right? So now think about this. When everything is something that they can seize with nothing more than a keystroke. Now, if they want to seize your physical property right now, They have to take ownership of that deed. They have to go to this place and file this. They have to go to that place and file that. They have to do this. There's a whole process. There's all sorts of legal steps. There's all sorts of things. Now, imagine them streamlining that process by calling these tax issues, right? Everything's a tax and spend issue. So, you know, your social credit score, you know, we call it a social credit score in the conservative world, but what it's really going to look like, I would say, from a legal perspective, is a little more like a tax, right? So they say, well, listen, this is a use tax. Have you heard about the use tax? They're saying, you know, electronic vehicles, you know, they're short, we're getting less gas tax. So, you know, we're going to start taxing them by usage, right? Same sort of thing. Well, listen, you used 3 tanks of gas this week, and you know that's carbon footprint, right? So we're going to tax you based on the fact that you used those 3 tanks. So your tax rate's going to go up. In the United States, that's what I think is going to happen. You're going to see your tax rate tied to certain behaviors. And they're going to increase your tax based on certain behaviors or decrease your tax. And that's an impossible thing to implement when you have private dollars and private ownership. But when everything's digital and they can run it through one giant computer system, everything becomes a taxable action. They can start taxing you based on your actions. You want to drive a bunch? You pay more taxes. You want to go buy ammo? Well, your taxes on that are going to be pretty crazy. You know,
you buy meat, you buy too much meat, you keep your house too cool and with air conditioning, right? And then, of course, they could tie social credit scores to it, start dinging you for fines and penalties, what you say. You know, this is very interesting what you're talking about right now. I've heard out in California, I think it's California, one of those states, Oregon, Washington, they were talking about a tax for people who have an overcompensation tax. Overcompensation tax. People that are overcompensated for their job pay an overcompensation tax.
Well, I wouldn't have to worry about that one. The advantages of being a patriot lawyer, right? You know, yeah, that's it, right? So they can do anything they want. And remember, they're all about outcomes. They're all about outcomes. Other side, the people that we fight, the people who hate freedom, are all about outcomes. They want to claim that it's about equal outcomes, but what it's really about is preserving and protecting power. Now, do you think that Bill Gates is going to get hit with that overcompensation tax? Hell no. He's got a bunch of lawyers like me who are figuring out ways so he pays nothing. Warren Buffett, you know, he pays less taxes than the secretary. None of this will apply to them, right? The elites always get out of it. But what they're going to do is they're going to tie this. It's going to be all about behavioral control, right? Oh, you want to go to church? Well, you know, those Christian extremists, that's going to be extra tax. Oh, you want to do this? Yeah, you want medical care? Well, you know, you're 80 years old and, you know, the death panels are coming for you. And, you know, you're not really contributing to society. You're not really doing much. Your treatment options are limited to A, B, and C, right? Did you get your vaccine, by the way? If you didn't, I think you're going to have to pay a health tax because guess what? You know, you're costing the government money by making other people sick.
So basically, what you're saying is, if you say to the federal government, local, state, or federal government, go pound sand on all these taxes, they've already tokenized your deed, and even if your house is paid off, they're going to start draining down, and you're going to get a tax bill, and if you don't pay it, it's going to come off the equity in your house, and then pretty soon, like a reverse mortgage, you're going to start making payments, or they're going to take your stuff. I mean, this is stuff out of Nazi. I am more and more convinced, by the way, that most of the Republicans are Nazis and the Democrats are communists. And I wrote a book called The Coming Religious Reich in 2015. And I really believe most of your Republicans, the globalist Republicans, most of them are Nazis, big government, big business, corporate fascists. That's what Hitler was into, fascism, corporate fascism. Yep. And I think you got the Rockefeller Republicans, the George H. Bush's daddy, Prescott Bush, working with the Nazis. You wonder, you got all these Republicans working with the Nazis. Why? They were into eugenics, apparently. They were into a population control. They were into these things, right? Anti-Semitism, globalism. And a lot of them were working with Hitler. We have a lot of corporation leaders for the Ford Motor Company. Henry Ford loved Hitler, you know, right? IBM was working with Hitler. Go read Edwin Black's book, IBM and the Holocaust. I mean, I could go on and on. I am more and more convinced that the Republicans, not all of them, But a lot of your big muckety-muck Republicans are corporate fascist neo-Nazi types, and your Democrats are the Marxist. Just like in Germany, it was a fight between the Nationalist Socialist Workers' Party, the Nazis, and the Communists. That's what's going on largely in America. I think most of the globalists are also a neo-Nazi. That's why I wrote the book, The Coming Religious Reich. All of what you're describing fits with that. Of course, they confiscated the Jews' property, left and right. I mean, they went in with ledger sheets, and they did a ledger on all of their hard assets. You know that. I know that.
Yep. Well, let me put two other things out there that are really big related to this, first of all. One is, let's think about Donald Trump, right? If all currency is digital, and if your assets are digital, and if you think about Donald Trump in this situation, so you got a guy who's he's an outsider, he's fighting for the election, he's fighting for the campaign, and he's not playing by the globalist rule book. How long do you think that Trump would still be a billionaire if this was in place? How long do you think it would take the DOJ to seize everything that he's got and put it, wrap it up in some sort of legal proceeding, some sort of, no pun intended, trumped up charges? You know, hey, Trump's doing this. We got to investigate. And in the meantime, we're taking control of his assets. We're doing this. We're doing that. There will never be another legitimate political candidate again if this goes through properly. All right. Because there will be no one. If you speak up.
You get the gist of this, I hope. Now, if you want more information, if you go to the Bank of International Settlements website, which is BIS.org, and if you look at their main page, there are a couple of boxes. One of the boxes is a link to this program, and it's also a PDF file. It's 34 pages. It's on your screen. It's titled BIS Papers number 136, Making Headway, Results of the 2022 BIS Survey on Central Bank Digital Currencies and Crypto. Okay, now I read through this. I'm not going to say I understand fully, but I understand enough to explain a few things. This is the amalgamation of all CBDCs, central bank digital currencies. Remember, Bank of International Settlements, they're the banker's bank. Okay, so when you think about what's happening in the world today, and you think, how will this affect me? You go to the grocery store. I mean, your selections are down, your prices are up, your quantities are down. Again, your prices are up sometimes, and I've seen this happen more and more. You've got some blips in the debit card or ATM system. Just saying, watch out for that. The killing off of the U.S. dollar, as I mentioned before, the panopticon of surveillance. I didn't show you that piece from the Judiciary Committee hearings just for fun, because nothing is going to become of it. But it illustrates the power behind the authority, or at least the authority that we, the people, like it or not, have given the FBI, have given the government. So the panopticon of surveillance, when you have Bank of America turning over to the FBI without them asking weapon purchase information, ammo purchase information, there is a huge problem here. People might say, well, they're not, this can't happen. This can't happen. Oh, yes, it can, because the groundwork is and already has been laid. Think about, again, I mentioned 1990s, the Clinton marriage, the co-presidency. Remember Hillary Care? Remember her just wanting to get Hillary Care in there and failing? Okay, what was that all about? That was all about the socialized medicine. Or all about socialized medicine. What happened with Obamacare? 25% of our economy. 25% and growing. That's socialized medicine. Okay, so you've got the CDBCs. You've got this the takeover of the medical economy and the lack of course, the lack of us being the world's reserve currency and the killing off of the dollar in exchange for the cryptos or CBDCs, okay? That allows this panopticon of surveillance. And you've got advances in artificial intelligence to manage these platforms. And then you've got a group of psychopaths who are intent on preserving and protecting, as Tom Renz said, their power. And then if you think about, okay, what kind of behavior do they want? Think about the Mayak report. Go all the way back to the Mayak report back in the early aughts, I believe it was. Maybe 08, I think, the Mayak report. M-I-A-C, in case you're wondering. Things like this. This does not happen overnight. This is on an accelerated process, so it's going to seem like all of a sudden we're there. Folks, we've been step by step heading into this direction. And pretty soon, cash will be a thing of the past. That is, you know, dollar bills, coinage, even though it's unconstitutional. You heard what Tom Renz said. Look, there have been legal decisions, even though they're not constitutionally, even though they're antithetical to the Constitution. And Lady does not like that. She, in case you heard that, that's Lady very upset about this. Okay, so when you combine all of these factors together, you've got this issue as explained by this paper and verbalized by House and Renz as tokenization and taxation. That's what this is. And if you're familiar with even the most basic accounting, you can see how this could play out. So I would urge you to study on this, because this is the method that they're going to use. All right, I want to move to Ukraine, because you know we are already in World War III. And this is something I've been keeping my eye on. And I'm wondering now, as we see the UN planning to seize this global emergency power, or powers plural, with the support of, you know, Biden and his team of crackerjack communist handlers. Ukraine figures into this picture pretty hugely. Okay, because Russia is not going to go along with this globalized power structure. China will, but they want to be on top. Think of it as, and I don't mean to be crass when I say this, but think of this as a man and a woman who's going to be on top. Okay, the reason I said that is, there's more to that in mythology, all right? And when you talk about the royal families and you talk about the Committee of 300, this is how they think, and that's why I mentioned that if it seemed out of place. But one thing that we're seeing right now is this need by this, I don't even know what you'd call this moron over there, former comedian Zelensky, wanting more money. I don't know how many people saw this. This is Representative Anna Polina. This is clip number 2 in the show notes. Go to HagmanPI.com and bookmark the website. This is Representative Ana Paulina Luna talking about Ukraine. Listen to this, because it comes out this way. Ukraine demanding each one of us, every American, the illegals, they're exempted from this, paying $200 a month for mercenaries. This is from Bannon's War Room. I thought it was very, very informative and very important as well. This is clip number two in the show notes, HagmanPI.com. Here it is.
President was aware, or was made aware, of the fact that the shelf life of cluster weapons is a long, long time. And the dangers posed to the public 5-10 years from now about cluster weapons and the impediments left on the ground, the particles left on the ground.
Sure.
That's
you can keep it up there. I forgot to trim this. They're talking about cluster weapons. This Kirby is a real moron. And cluster weapons is really going to be a deal breaker for the. Well, I hope I got the right one. A deal breaker in terms of World War III. All right, continue, and we'll see if Luna does show up here.
That's a tough decision to make. No,
very tough. And the president said so himself. This was not an easy decision, and it's not something that he did quickly or without a lot of careful thought. I think we would make two points here to yours, Mike. One is that the dud rate, the failure rate of the cluster munitions that we're going to be providing is exceedingly low, less than 2.5%. By comparison, just to make the point, the Russian dud rate of the cluster munitions they're using in Ukraine is about 30-40%. So far more duds are going to be on the battlefield. Number two, we're going to work with the Ukrainians, and we are already, but we're certainly going to work with them through and past this war after it's over to work on demining efforts to make it as safe as possible. And the last thing I'd say, Mike, is that while, yes, there is an inherent potential danger to civilians on the battlefield once the fighting is over because of these duds, these bomblets that didn't explode, I think we can all agree that the risk to Ukrainian civilians is far greater if the Ukrainian counteroffensive fails, if they run out of artillery shells, if they can't defend their own territory. They are being killed every day by Iranian drones and cruise missiles. And yes, cluster munitions that the Russians are using indiscriminately. The Ukrainians are using these to defend their territory, to win back their sovereignty.
Okay. In NATO, where Zelensky said, you know, it's a huge headline in Newsweek magazine, this is absurd that you're not letting us in right away. The escalation continues now with these deadly cluster bombs. Congressman Luna, your thoughts, ma'am.
You know, this is incredibly crazy that we're even having this conversation. I co-sponsored a resolution with Representative Jacobs and Representative Gates to actually prevent these cluster bombs from going to Ukraine. Not only are they highly dangerous for civilians and children, but exactly as mentioned, even on this mainstream media network that you would just play the clip of, I mean, there is a potential that these will be unexploded ordnance and that there will have to be a massive demining effort afterwards. So not only is it crazy, but let me just tell you about a conversation that I had with the Speaker of the Ukrainian Parliament when I was in Poland on a CODEL. Okay. They want to not only demand that Americans pay $200 every single day, every American in the country, because it is our quote unquote obligation, according to Ukraine, so that they can defend the Western world from Russia. But they're also saying that they want F-35s. And if that isn't crazy enough, they're saying that after Russia leaves Crimea, which is where their head is at, they're going to potentially privatize and create a mercenary army similar to the Wagner Group. So that is the mindset of Ukraine. Why are we giving them more munitions? Meanwhile, we have the Hunter Biden investigation that was tied to, remember, Burisma and a Ukrainian oligarch. Are we supposed to be there? Absolutely not. Do we need to continue to fund this war? Absolutely not. And that's exactly why I'm sponsoring this resolution.
Hang on. You spoke when you were on the CODEL, which is these congressional delegations go over to get more information. You went to Poland. You met with and talked with the Speaker of the Ukrainian Parliament, and
yes.
They said that it's our it's America's obligation to continue to fund this every day to the hundreds of billions of dollars. Also, they want. Are you sure it wasn't F-16s? He says he wants F-35s.
Steve, he told this to an entire table, a bipartisan delegation of both myself, other Florida representatives, and absolutely. And that's why I believe that they're pushing to join NATO, because first of all, that's not even realistic, one, but two, that's our top tier equipment, right? Premier. And yet they want us to hand it on over. And with this administration, I believe that they would try to push for that, which is why they're pushing to join NATO. But I want to remind everyone that, remember, Ukraine had an option to join NATO and they didn't. So they want to get housing insurance essentially after their house flooded. And that's not our problem. We don't represent Ukraine. We represent the United States. And to have a foreign government say that it's the obligation of every American to pay $200 a day, I don't think so.
All right, you can cut that right there. There's more to that, another 5 minutes or so, or 4 minutes. You can watch that again, HagemanPI.com. Folks, again, this is about money. This is about laundering money. This is about making the powerful more powerful, and they're increasing their wealth, and obviously at our expense. Speaking of which, I thought this was extremely telling and important. Think about this. Sonia Sotomayor. This is the information can be found on page 2 of the show notes. Sonia Sotomayor, before she became a Supreme Court justice, her net worth, now listen to this, in 2007, just 2 years before Obama nominated Sotomayor to join the Supreme Court, her net worth was between $50,000 and $115,000. Okay? Now, she had to file financial disclosures. I'm okay with that. She only had two reported assets, a checking account and a savings account. In 2008, her assets were about the same, somewhere between $15,000. Whoops. That purse was too much money, and $65,000. But in 2021, listen to this. I mean, she must have taken the Hillary Clinton School of Cattle Futures, because her financial disclosures revealed her investments totaled between $15 million and $6.4 million. Last year alone, her investments were between $1.6 million and $6.6 million. This is a Supreme Court justice. This is not somebody. This is a judge, a Supreme Court judge, who makes what $285,400 a year. And her net worth is up to $6.6 million? You think there's something going on here? I do think so. I do think so. And I mention that only because when you from start to finish, when you look at how things are going, if you think that you are going to get a fair shake, you're not going to get a fair shake. If you think that things are going to change with Gates, you know, blowing a gasket during the hearings, nothing's going to change unless we, the people, change, make, you know, force the change. If you think the Ukraine war, if you're out there, you know, bloviating for Ukraine because they're, of course, you know, they've got the moral high ground, then you might want to check out the Nazis that occupy Ukraine. I mean, real Nazis. And if you think that we're going to get out of this surveillance / digital prison by way of them controlling your money, and by controlling your money, controlling your behavior, you're not correct. So it's up to us. If it is to be, say it with me, if it's to be, it's up to me. And of course, with God's help, anything is possible, right? I'm sure of it. Don't lose hope. Always, always seek more information. Make sure you know what's going on, and watch your six, because it's getting crazy out there. Make sure you're prepared. because things are going to get really, really rough. It's just starting. I want to thank everyone for joining me. Please, if you got anything out of today, do me a favor. Share this broadcast with others. Put it on social media, the link to it on social media. And let me know in the comments section, Rumble, Brighteon. I read those comments as well. God bless you, and have a great day on behalf of Eric, the tech, and Lady, the studio doctor.